I think we don't want to hype this up too much, although I, you know.
This is the Future of Water, where we talk about all the ways in which companies, utilities, and people are addressing challenges and opportunities in water. So a couple of weeks ago, we talked a little bit about the potential marriage between Veolia and Suez, and that's still ongoing and even more news coming out. So that's something we are following. But today, it's all about twins. No, not those kind of twins, but digital twins. Recent announcements about IPOs and concerns about things like aging infrastructure and just also new solutions in the water industry are driving interest in, I guess we would call these innovative approaches to asset management and water as a whole, but I'm really not the one you want to hear from about this. So today I'm joined by Bluefield Research colleague and partner Keith Hayes, and then I've also got Research Director Eric Bendler. So Keith, what's going on?
Hey Reese, how you doing? How's it going? Things are good over here.
Yeah, things are good here as well. We're just, I'd like to say the weekends are different from the weeks, but it all runs together. But here we are. And Eric, what about you? What's the word in the Sunshine State?
It's finally cooling off a little bit, which is nice. So we're enjoying that.
Yeah, I'm in the Northeast in Boston where I am. We're bracing for the cold, getting ready to be not only unable to go to restaurants and have dinner out and get outside of the house, but it's going to be freezing cold at the same time. So it's all coming together to a head, maybe the perfect storm. Well, I talked a little bit about or introduced us to talk about digital twins. So Eric, let's start with you. I mean, quite honestly, as I've told you guys, I'm a rookie in all of this sort of the digital stuff. So can we just start with the basics and talk a little bit about, you know, what is the digital twin and how do you define it?
Yeah, sure. I think it's a good place to start. So, I mean, there are a lot of different types of definitions, a lot of different frameworks for parsing out what a digital twin is. And I think that's kind of one of the challenges, which we can get back to in a little bit. But I'd say at its core, at the highest level, a digital twin is basically just a digital replica of something that exists in the physical world. So that could be a specific asset, you know, like a pump, for example. It could be a process, like a process in a treatment facility. It could be just an entire system, like an entire pipe network. Any of those levels of abstraction could have kind of a digital twin associated with them. But the key difference between a digital twin versus just more of like a static model is that a digital twin should be updated in real time with data that's coming in from the physical counterpart. So the digital twin is constantly updated to mirror the performance, the condition, the health of that real world counterpart. I think it's also worth pointing out, it's not really a new concept. Like the term itself has been in use since at least the early 2000s. I saw a couple claims have been made that the concept has been used at least in practice since the 1960s in places like NASA, for example. But it's a lot more developed in like the manufacturing industry and, you know, aerospace, the automotive industry. But it really has started to generate quite a bit of buzz in the last couple of years in the water sector.
So Keith, I mean, I know you've put some, at least an opinion piece out there relatively recently. Where did it begin in the water sector? Any thoughts, ideas about that?
You know, the idea of creating a representation of physical assets digitally, I mean, it has been around for years. I think what's new here is some of the more, let's say, bells and whistles around the graphical interface for it. And, you know, the different vendors that we've seen that are promoting it, there's some pretty cool stuff you can see with virtual reality and different visualizations of the assets and things like that. But being able to show what's going on in the network based on physical data being pumped into a system, that's interesting. But what's even more interesting with the digital twin is how you can apply artificial intelligence and machine learning to take what's going on in that twin and make predictions out of it. So it's not just the visualization per se, but it's what we're going to get out of it in terms of capabilities once we are able to leverage more of that data that's feeding into the twin.
The starting point, though, would it be just the SCADA system? I mean, is that where they're really starting? Or
yeah, obviously, there are a few different layers to it. I mean, there's the SCADA system, there's the GIS system. So, you know, the inventory of where your assets are, that's sort of the basic map. And then you have hydraulic models, right, that show where water is or is not flowing around on the system. And then from there, you may add in other sensors and other instruments out on the network that may be feeding in data into that SCADA system or to some other visualization platform as well. And, you know, I think Eric's spent a lot of time looking at some of the different solutions that are out there doing that.
Well, so to that point, Eric, there's a lot to unpack here, but let's just sort of follow the thread a little bit. So we've defined it a little bit. Now, is it ubiquitous among all companies? Who's doing it by not only brand, but also types of companies? Where is it being, who's deploying it, should I say?
Yeah, sure. I think that follows on pretty well with what Keith was mentioning in terms of some of the types of solutions that are the basis for digital twin. I mean, I think the network modeling players within the water industry at least made a pretty strong claim for serving as kind of a foundational element for digital twins, because again, you've got that hydraulic model that contains all the really crucial engineering data for just how the network itself functions and how it behaves under different types of conditions. And if you're able to take that static model that's been built for a system at a particular point in time and start layering in all of this real-time data, you know, connecting in the operational data from a SCADA system or connecting in the maintenance history from a work order management or CMMS type of a system, you layer in real-time sensor data that's coming in from flow sensors on the network or pressure sensors or smart meters for that matter, you're able to really take that kind of static model and make it dynamic and make it real time. And so a lot of the network modeling players like Bentley Systems, like Innovyze, like DHI, they've all kind of made a strong play for this digital twin concept and really engaged in a lot of market education efforts, participating in industry groups to kind of advance the concept of the digital twin in the water industry. Bentley in particular, I think, stands out in that they, not just in water, but kind of company-wide, they've really redefined themselves as a digital twin first company. That's really the core mantra of the company at this point over the past few years. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see kind of how that continues to progress. I'd say another group of players that is interesting to think about here would be the engineering firms. We usually call them EPCs, the engineering, procurement, and construction firms. We actually just this week put out a market insight on the strategic position of some of the leading EPC firms in the digital water space. And one of the things that really kind of struck me in looking through their solutions, their marketing, their position in the water market is that the majority of them, or at least maybe half or so of the ones that I looked at, have come out with some sort of a digital twin related offering. They've really tried to claim that term and apply it to some of what they're doing, because I think, you know, they kind of make the case that they have the technology agnostic position in the market. They serve as this kind of technical advisor to utilities, and they're, in their words at least, kind of uniquely positioned to help utilities take all of the different investments that they've already made in different technology systems across departments. So pull together data from the SCADA system and the CMMS and the GIS and the hydraulic model, pull in the data from network monitoring hardware, and add that layer on top, that digital twin layer, that taking all of that data from different systems and different silos, putting it in one place, and making it actionable, making it available for utility staff to actually use on a day-to-day basis. And so you see Jacobs, Black & Veatch, Mott MacDonald, CDM Smith, all of the kind of leading EPCs out in the market have tried to put some sort of either a software platform out that they call a digital twin, or they're at least helping build digital twins for clients. Stantec has had a big win recently in that area, for example.
But when you say that, just so I understand, are you saying that they are trying to do it themselves with their own software, or they're just going to Innovyze or Bentley, as you mentioned, and saying, hey, can we partner on this and we'll help you implement your software?
It's a little bit of both. In many cases, certainly that kind of partnership layer where they're serving as the implementer or the integrator, we do see a lot of that. But in many cases, these players are actually coming to market with their own software. So Jacobs has something called Replica. It's actually, about a decade old, if not older, but it's like a flight simulator for operating water treatment plants. So it's more of a training tool in many ways, or like a simulation tool, so that operators can play around with different settings and try to understand how the system would behave under different operating conditions. And that's actually one of the core use cases of a digital twin as that concept has evolved for the water industry. It's a way to not just understand what's happening now, but also try to model out or simulate what would happen under, you know, in a major storm event, for example, or if you were to add a new storage tank to the system, how would that affect the hydraulic performance? Or if you were to do this repair, this maintenance intervention, how would that affect the behavior of the system? And so Jacobs kind of took this older software solution that they had called Replica, and they have rebranded as a digital twin just to match that growing demand for the concept. But others as well, CDM Smith has a tool called Pipecast that they're branding as kind of a digital twin for wastewater collection networks. Mott MacDonald has Moata, which is their kind of digital twin platform. Black & Veatch has EcoX. So some of them do, you know, certainly have these in-house software solutions that they've built that they're integrating data from all of these other third-party software vendors.
Well, so when I asked the question, I was thinking of 2-3 primary players. When you start rolling up the EPCs into that bucket of who's deploying solutions, it gets pretty big. I mean, Keith, do you have anything to add to that, at least as far as their strategies or approaches to market? And one thing I'd also be curious about, does it differ geographically how these companies are at least positioned?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's important to consider we're at a phase in terms of market maturity for digital twins that's still pretty early days. And so we're hearing a lot about different capabilities, but if you had to think about the actual deployments of fully fleshed digital twins, which have all the assets are in there, all kinds of simulations can be run. There's actual operational decisions being made based on the twin. I think that's important to consider where we're at right now in terms of the market, because I think as Eric was saying, at the end of the day, creating a digital twin is a massive integration process that's happening amongst some of the largest utilities in the world, like in the UK, where you've got some projects underway with these large regional municipal water utilities that are serving millions of people. And so right now, I think the idea and the methodology is still being fleshed out. What I find interesting about, you know, where the vendors are going with this is not everybody is going to be able to do these huge projects, and maybe only one or two of them are going to come out a year. Is there a way to simplify the digital twin to address a broader market, or are there functions of the digital twin without being a full-blown version of it that we may be seeing in the UK that could signify a more mainstream approach to it?
Yeah, because I think everybody sort of sees the end game, whether it's sort of the Matrix or maybe it's Blade Runner, you know, this like far out, everything's sort of being controlled, the data is being managed by someone somehow. But yeah, it's kind of the roadmap. How do we get not straight from A to Z, but how do we go along the, you know, A, B, C, D in those steps? So another question I have is, and Eric, maybe you know this, is are they all just the companies, the ones, the main ones, the software companies? I guess it's maybe it's indicative in my saying that what the answer is, that they just focus on software, or is anybody come to the market to say, hey, we are a third party, you know, overlay to your system. We'll implement our software. We will have an offsite control room where we'll monitor everything that's happening on your system and notify you, sort of like ADT security. You know, someone's broken into your home or one of your doors is open, and notify either you or the police or the fire department. How are they differentiated, if at all?
Yeah, it's a good question. There are certainly providers out there that offer that type of a monitoring service. One, I think, that comes to mind that we've been keeping an eye on lately is Aquify, which is kind of a startup that was built within Exelon.
Startup, right. Good.
Yeah, like internal startup, let's say. Incubated company within Exelon. And so they offer this monitoring service that sits on top of Takadu event management software. I haven't really seen that type of a concept applied alongside Digital Twin necessarily. I don't see any reason why a provider couldn't. And there may be some that I'm missing there. But generally, the services aspect that I've seen in the digital twin market has been much more that setup and implementation and integration, even like training. You know, Bentley is kind of a software pure play, but in the past year or two, they've really been building up a lot of this crop of also internally incubated systems integrators that they're spinning out. So within the water industry, they have Digital Waterworks. They have a few others that serve some other industries as well. But the idea is they're a software provider. They want to increase that demand for their software. So they're setting up and investing in these systems integrators that can go out and provide that service to customers, to utilities, especially on the smaller end of the scale, as Keith was mentioning, to say, we can help you understand the data that you already have, understand the way that your existing systems and digital investments kind of talk to each other, and then add that digital twin layer on top to kind of pull it all together and help you as a utility get value out of all of this. And if they drive more demand for Bentley software in the process, then all the better, right? So that's kind of the model that they've been pursuing from a services aspect. Keith, I don't know if you have any other.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would reiterate though the importance of that organizing principle that you get with digital twin in a way, because what we hear about a lot right now, vendors sometimes come to Bluefield saying, you know, how do we sell to a certain type of utility client a given solution. Let's say it's for energy efficiency or leakage reduction or water quality monitoring. And the usual answer is, well, you have to have a very clear business case. And then they get a few projects going. They're able to prove a certain amount of savings in terms of water loss or on their power bills or what have you. And then that helps them introduce a solution to the market. And the utilities are picking up on those incremental improvements for digital water, like tackling leakage, tackling pump programming, things like that. But sometimes the utility comes and says, look, especially when they hire somebody who's looking at their data and their digital platforms across the entire organization, and they realize, as you were saying, Eric, there is all this dark data. They don't know what to do with it. And it's very easy to, on the one hand, say, look, what's your business case? What are you trying to do? And then we'll find the data for it and we'll help you solve it and find the solution, et cetera. On the other hand, when you're looking more holistically, it's what do we do with all of it? And digital twin is a way of saying, look, this could be your endpoint of having all these things feed into this platform, which will have these very interesting capabilities in terms of looking at the way your assets are now, but then doing predictive analytics on them, running scenarios, and then translating that into some very specific operational decisions. Yeah. And so, you know, I think why there's a lot of hype around digital twin in large part is because it provides this more integrated approach to pulling everything together on this digital journey. Whereas right now, sometimes it feels like one hand is not talking to the other.
Yeah. I think the vision is right. I think that's where we all want things to be or to go. But, and I've said this, it's been a while since I've said it, but it feels like you kind of have to rebuild the house while living in it at the same time. So maybe this is a good segue into, we've said hype, is it a buzzword? I don't even know if there's a better term for really what it is, but it's not that easy, right? I think that's the reality of it. So from A to Z, as I talked about. So what are the primary pitfalls or challenges that you guys see? I'll leave that open to either one of you, whoever speaks first.
Go for it, Eric.
Sure. I mean, I'd say one of the biggest ones is just a lack of market understanding at this point. It is very much a buzzword, especially in the past maybe year or so. I feel like I've seen countless webinars and case studies and just, you know, vendor marketing material putting forward some sort of a solution related to digital twins. And it may be, again, a narrow application, a digital twin of a specific pump, for example, or kind of system-wide, which is more what we've been talking about. You know, you're seeing this across the board. I mentioned the modeling companies, the EPCs, but if you look kind of across the digital water industry, so many vendors have put out something related to digital twins, whether it be Xylem or Trimble or Suez, Veolia, all of these big names are also cashing in on this concept. The challenge, I think, is that utilities don't seem to really have a great understanding of it at this point. We've seen a number of RFPs come out where utilities were actually calling for a digital twin, but if you kind of read between the lines at what they're asking for, it's not really in any way related to the concepts that we've been discussing. So they're seizing on this buzzword without really understanding what it actually means. But even maybe the bigger challenge is that we've actually did some interviews earlier this year with a number of utilities, actually pretty decent sized utilities in the US. And the majority of the ones that we talked to had never even really heard the term before, right? So there's this massive gap between where the vendor community is and all of the different ideas and definitions that vendors are putting out, and then, you know, actual utility understanding and an appreciation of the kind of the value of the concept. And, you know, a lot of that is the marketing hype. We have seen a number of organizations and kind of industry groups try to come forward to put more of a standardized definition out there just to help clarify the value a little bit more for potential clients, for utilities, and also in other industries as well. So SWAN, the Smart Water Industry Group, has kind of a working group looking at a standardized definition and architecture for digital twins. There's also some really interesting work happening in the Center for Digital Built Britain. They put out this set of principles called the Gemini Principles that is kind of like a mantra for or a framework for what a digital twin should be. You know, it should be a public good, it should be open, it should be secure, and that kind of thing. So there's industry-wide efforts to define it, but there's still, I think, this big gap between where the vendor community is and where the actual clients are.
There's a big difference between where we are. Just hearing you talk, I'm just like, oh my God, I can't keep up with all of this. So to explain it to someone who I mean, they're in the water industry too. They're a utility or a utility operator. But yeah, I think education goes a long way. I mean, maybe that's part of the reason for this pod. Sorry, Keith, I cut you off.
Well, no, I think the concern right now, though, is sometimes when you create hype and the utilities feel like they need to do something about it, but it ends up being just kind of window dressing. You think about the move towards smart cities, right? And smart cities, okay, everybody, every mayor needs to have some sort of smart city strategy, and then they push it on the municipal utility to come up with some smart water plan. Then that ended up being, you know, they did a couple of pilots of sensors or looking at modeling flood water in their city, and then that's it. And it looks more kind of like window dressing than really getting in there and mapping out this digital journey that could lead to something like a twin that is fully fleshed out in all of its capabilities. So yeah, we're definitely in the early days of educating the market, and it's important to do it in a way now that doesn't confuse people, that makes it clear that this technology does have some very practical money-saving, service quality-improving implications to be harvested from it, right? And I think if that's not clear, then the industry, which I think the water industry hasn't been that fantastic always at PR, then it's going to be a challenge to get a lot of traction with this concept, because it is a big cultural shift in terms of how you manage data. And also at the end of the day, it will be a shift in terms of the way you manage your assets.
Is there a difference between the big and the small, big to small systems, are you big, medium, and small? So, I mean, I think, Keith, you touched upon it. You know, it doesn't have to be the full enterprise-wide system solution. Is there, Eric, you said, you know, is it just pumps where you're tracking that? Does it matter? Is really the approach for these companies so far, are they just looking at the Philadelphias, the Washingtons, the Los Angeles, the big systems in the US, the 418, or in the UK, those big regional utilities?
I think they are right now, Reese. And I think that's a bit of what the industry is going through in terms of educating the market, getting a utility on board, developing an understanding of in what shape data is in. If there is dark data in there to be used or not, then it's all the people issues of integrating different information silos that are managed by different departments. And so, I mean, you could argue this would be a lot easier in a smaller utility. If you have it all fleshed out in terms of some pre-configured ways of deploying sensors, getting all fed into a relatively simple operational system, or somehow outsourcing it in the Aquify model you were suggesting before, then you're not dealing with all these legacy assets or IT systems in trying to move towards a digital twin, right? But it seems for it to be worth their while right now, a lot of these vendors and engineering firms are looking for those big city project references.
Yeah, I think you make a good point. Yeah, maybe a smaller system is easier. At the same time, you know, one of the...
Although I would qualify that, sorry to jump in. Yeah. I mean, I know Eric's looked at a couple of cases where if you narrow the scope of a twin to just like a treatment plant or just this small part of a network, then, you know, you could do something smaller. I think, was it Jordan Valley was the one reference we had?
Brown and Caldwell. Yeah.
Brown and Caldwell. And I think that was really just creating a twin of an individual plant, which we could see that it'd be very asset specific, but is the investment worth the savings and the operational improvements you're going to get out of it? I'm not as clear on.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting. One, I mean, from an educational point of view, if you're just looking at an asset, it is in some ways easier to understand as opposed to this dynamic, particularly if you're looking at a big, large system spread across the city. You've got multiple systems, you got hundreds of miles of pipe assets and pump stations and so on and so forth. So to that point, though, as far as saving money, and Eric, we just did a webcast for clients looking at the impact of COVID and recession and all of the other problems of the world and its impact on our forecast. What does that mean, if generally speaking, for the digital twin? Will it benefit from all of this, or will it still take time and 1 to 2 big projects a year to play out over the next 5 years?
It's a good question. I mean, one of the things that we've been looking at in trying to assess or evaluate the impacts of COVID-19 on the digital water market is, you know, we have been going segment by segment or technology by technology. And there are some clear losers, I'd say, like, you know, certainly metering and SCADA have suffered quite a bit just because of the implementation and installation challenges. They're so hardware centric that it's really tough to go out and set up a new system like that in the middle of a global health crisis. Some of the other systems that we're seeing other technologies are benefiting. So we're seeing a lot more activity in, you know, for example, remote billing and remote customer management as utilities are trying to quickly close down their in-person customer service windows and be able to take payments and assist their customers remotely. You know, also cybersecurity, teleconferencing, all of the things that every other industry is trying to grapple with as they all shift to working from home. I don't necessarily think that the demand for digital twin is going to like spike really quickly in the near term. I mean, certainly if a utility had already made that investment and really, you know, they are still pretty few and far between, something like a digital twin would be super helpful, certainly in the middle of a crisis like this, where you're trying to manage more of a remote workforce. You're trying to be able to keep a bird's eye view of everything that's happening in your system without necessarily having to send people out into the field, into the community to check and test and monitor. I think it's also not the type of project that a utility would really want to undertake right now. You know, if we're talking about kind of a full-blown digital twin, it is such a massive integration and implementation haul that it's more of a strategic kind of a long-term initiative that is not necessarily going to be priority number one as utilities are trying to just continue to maintain business continuity, business as usual in the middle of something like this. I do think that thinking out into like the medium to long-term, it is going to be one of those tools that utilities come back to, especially as the term continues to saturate the market, let's say, and as utilities get a better understanding of what this concept is, it is something that maybe they'll look at as they look to plan for the next crisis and build resilience against future events like this, or just improve operational efficiency, improve capital planning efficiency moving forward. And so, yeah, I think that definitely this could be a boost to the digital twin market, but I don't think it's going to lead to a bunch of utilities going out, you know, in the next 3 months to try to set up their own digital twins. I don't know, Keith, what do you think?
I agree. It is not a straight path to implement this kind of solution. And I think, though, the positive thing that is that you don't have to necessarily do all this right away, but the idea that digital twin is getting some traction in some utilities that can showcase it advances the education of the market. And also, to get up to doing a digital twin, a lot of other good things can happen in the process, right? So, I mean, that's what I like in terms of thinking of the digital twin as almost like a vision or a strategic path, in that it forces a utility to think about a lot of different things at the same time, right? To think about how people work together, how their data integrates or doesn't, what sort of operational functions are they struggling with or are not, what are they going to do when people retire, how can they improve certain service functions that they may be lagging behind on? And technology is not always the answer for that, right? I mean, we see it day after day that there's a lot of good technology out there, but not all water tech entrepreneurs are billionaires, right? I mean, it's not the easiest market to introduce new technology, but when you have a series of drivers around technology that combine with other imperatives just on the mission of delivering the service, something pretty positive can come out of that. I mean, Reese, does this sound to you still like a lot of hype, or do you see here that there is something real to it?
Oh, always come to me to be the downer. I don't want to say I'm skeptical. I think you guys are posing it correctly that it's a long play. It's not like next week, next year, there's a switch to be flipped and that it's going to take off. Eric mentioned it, like the hardware expenses for meters and SCADA systems. So part of that is, you know, we just did the webcast. We revised our forecast basically for the second time in 6 months. And it's no longer a haircut to the CapEx growth for, you know, infrastructure spending and water. It's more like a buzz cut at this point. It's getting uglier by the day, partly because of drawn out uncertainty. And that's really in the US, to some extent in the UK. The UK's got other issues. Places like Brazil are getting beat up. But, you know, other markets may do better. I think it's really interesting. And I think, you know, I like technology. I'm not the earliest adopter. I'm probably in the middle somewhere. And utilities are...
You're a mid-doptor? What do they call that?
Yeah, I don't I'm a follower.
You're a fast follower.
Fast follower, I think, in my want to use it. I don't think utilities are fast followers, and I'm not saying they should be. I just know that it's interesting to see. We know that this is used in other industries, right? Whether it be oil and gas is a great example. I mean, there's a lot of money at stake and they're really innovative. They put a lot of money into R&D. So when it comes to drilling and exploration, it is deployed there and I think successfully. So I would be cautious with you guys. And I think, you know, it keeps coming to mind is I am one for idioms. There are a lot of players out there, like you said, Eric, who say they're doing these things. And I would say, you know, all hat, no cattle, right? You know, there are companies out there that say they can do it, but in reality, can they, or are they just sort of working a relationship? But I think there's interesting stuff happening, right? So maybe that's my next question to you, Eric, since you're tracking this on a day-to-day basis, is what do we look for going forward? What are we monitoring to see how this evolves? Is there anything in the near to long term that we should be looking for?
Yeah, absolutely. I just actually thought of another one as you and Keith were talking. I mean, I think one of the interesting points here about the digital twin concept that we referred to a couple of times is just that it's kind of layered, right? You can have just a digital twin of a specific asset, or you can scale up to the full system. But even looking beyond that, you can also have digital twins of entire cities or even entire countries. I mentioned the Center for Digital Built Britain. One of the ideas that they floated is having an infrastructure digital twin for the entire UK. And this is this kind of initiative that's taking place outside of the water industry, but certainly involving the water industry. And actually, if I look at some of the big digital twin project references that I've seen in Australia, for example, it's often been a kind of a citywide initiative to develop a digital twin for like a neighborhood, you know, so like in Sydney or in Melbourne, there've been these initiatives of just a part of the city, but getting all of the infrastructure in that part of the city into kind of a digital twin as a pilot and then maybe build out from there. So I'd say that's one thing to keep an eye on is just obviously what's happening within the water industry, but also these broader municipal and smart cities, digital cities movements to embrace this concept and how that might pull the water industry along with it to some extent. Beyond that, I mean, looking at the vendor landscape and what we're seeing, and you led off with the Bentley IPO, and I think that's obviously something to watch just given how closely they've tied themselves to the digital twin concept. We were talking a little bit before you hit the record button. It seems like basically the major rationale for the IPO was more just to kind of get some market value for the shares that employees are holding. I think they actually gave all employees some shares before the IPO. And so now they're, you know, rewarding employees for long-term commitment to the company. The Bentley brothers aren't actually taking any of the proceeds from the IPO and company's not taking any of the proceeds from the IPO. So, you know, we've been talking about how they may invest those proceeds, but it seems like at this point, it's really just for the employees. But I think it's still an interesting kind of bellwether for Bentley and also for that modeling and digital twin segment of the industry, just how it's going to continue to perform and what the broader appetite will be for those shares. The other thing that we're looking at, you know, in that same kind of realm of competition would be Innovyze, right? Innovyze was bought by EQT, you know, private equity firm back in 2017. It was a pretty significant acquisition. And they've been kind of steadily building up the company. They rolled it into XP Solutions, which was another network modeling competitor. And then they just added Imagine, which is an AI firm focused on the water industry, just last year. And so it seems like they're gearing up for a sale. That's word on the street that, you know, EQT is going to be seeking an exit. We had been saying 2020, that may still pan out. It may be early next year, but we do kind of anticipate that Innovyze will be up for sale. You know, and again, as a leading player in the network modeling market, and by extension, the digital twin market, I think what happens with Innovyze is going to be pretty significant in terms of where the industry is going. You know, if they're bought by another digital water player or by somebody else in the industry versus a financial player, could kind of shape the direction of their solutions, their portfolio going forward.
Yeah. So Keith, anything you'd throw into the hat?
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting the companies that you're mentioning because we're talking much more of sort of huge software players having a much bigger role in the industry than before. I mean, you know, Eric mentioned before some of the core systems like enterprise asset management or CMMS for, you know, maintenance. And you've got companies like Oracle and SAP. Now we've got, you know, Microsoft or Amazon providing cloud-based data services. And then you get a lot of the software that's providing functionality out of some growing companies like the Bentley that's in several sectors. And I think we'll probably see more of that. I mean, I think as the water space becomes more savvy to consuming software, we'll see more of these mainstream players, whether it's going to be Amazon, Google, Apple, whoever, and whether they're going to focus on the home space or on industrial infrastructure, it's an exciting time to see how these software firms are looking at the water sector.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think the smart home space is interesting, but you know, companies like Google, they're already in the home space. And I don't know if I ever really consider it, but they're also in the transportation business too. They have the maps. They know who's traveling where, what they're doing. They know where bottlenecks are. They know where the police officers are sitting at any given time around the world. So it'll be interesting to see what their play is. I think they have the data, they have the insights. The question is, are the returns there for them to start tying that all together with commercial products beyond just working behind the scenes? It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Yeah, and I think in my mind, I think, Keith, you really, I think, hit the nail on the head as like where the market will go as well. And that is, you've got the big, sexy, smart city type projects, but those are hard to come by. So it's hard to see the breadcrumbs of smaller projects. And those are successes. They're wins for the digital twin segment. And so identifying those and tracking those is really important. And really, it's probably where the near-term opportunity is. All right, guys. Well, if there anything else to add before I call it a day?
Oh, not yet. I think we're, sometimes talking digital twin, it's like we're talking about flying cars, right? It feels like a little bit.
That's how I feel.
You know, we're starting to see some EV charging stations around a few cities, definitely over here in Europe, but, you know, we're not flying off of our rooftops yet.
You know, although given this pandemic, given how hard it is to buy a new bicycle, you'd think that's where we were heading. It's impossible to buy a bicycle or a bike rack. That's been my experience.
Wow.
But all right, guys. Well, look, let's call it a day. This has been fantastic. I think it can get pretty complicated, but clearly you guys have insights on what's happening, not only just the market and what's driving and shaping it, but also the companies. I think that's really helpful to help understand that. So thanks again. And I look forward to seeing how things evolve, whether it be the Bentley IPO and how they do, as well as the Innovyze. We know that everybody's excited about Innovyze. So thanks for stepping up. Take care. Be well. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Reese.
Take care. Thanks.
This podcast and these water industry insights have been brought to you by Bluefield Research. So now that we're starting to get our sea legs with this podcast, Future of Water, go ahead, post a review or just pass along to one of your friends. We need listeners. We're not trying to necessarily make money from this. We're trying to inform people about what's happening. So if you want to learn more about Bluefield Research, go to bluefieldresearch.com. And if you haven't done that, another plug. There's a lot of free reports at your fingertips. There are presentations. Go ahead, give it a shot, register. It's not that hard. It takes about a minute. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to not only the Future of Water, this podcast, but also Dave McGimpsey's Water Values podcast. That one is a big one in the industry. This past week, I believe he interviewed Chris Moody from AWWA. I think they're discussing PFAS, which is a topic that Bluefield has done extensive research on. And in fact, we have an in-depth report that, hint, hint, it's for sale if you're trying to figure out what's happening in that market. It's interesting stuff. So go ahead and take a look at that. In the meantime, be well, be safe, and you will hear from us soon, hopefully in a couple weeks.